This year on Veterans Day, the Pennsylvania Interscholastic High School Hockey League told its 183 member schools to stop performing the national anthem before their games. This got me thinking, what's more important, the hockey game or the song that comes before it? I'm Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon. On Veterans Day, we generally honor our veterans. Seems like a good idea for a lot of reasons. They served our country, often in unpleasant places, and frequently in great danger, to keep the worst of the world away from our homeland. My grandfather was a New York dentist who volunteered at age 39 to hop on a ship in the Pacific during World War II. My dad graduated from medical school, then enlisted in the U.S. Army, which sent him and his new bride to Fulda, Germany, to guard the border. I grew up hearing my dad say things like, "Smart to be seen in Army green," and "three meals a day," and, well, I'm stopping there. On Veterans Day, I've gotten into the habit of calling my old man to thank him for his service. But this year, on the same day, the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Hockey League told its 183-member high school teams to stop performing the national anthem before their games. The league commissioner, Ed Sam, was quick to explain, "It's not that we're not patriotic. That's the furthest thing from the truth." And I actually believe him. They're not unpatriotic. They're stupid. The reason behind the decision was money. Most teams have to pay for their ice, which Sam said costs up to $300 per hour. I've coached high school hockey, and that does seem high to me. But even at that rate, unless they're playing Whitney Houston's version, the national anthem takes about 2 minutes, or $10 of ice time. What do they get for that $10? They get to join some of their best friends and complete strangers, singing a song that ends with the ringing words, "O'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." That's not a bad deal for $10, it seems to me. The Star-Spangled Banner did not become our national anthem until 1931, when we needed it most. It spread through baseball, then other sports. We Americans don't do too much together anymore. We watch different news programs, live in different neighborhoods, and go to different schools. But we do this together every week, without taking sides or trying to determine whose flag pin is bigger, as if some of us are real Americans and others are not. My dad and I do not always agree on politics, but we've always agreed on this. When I coached, we decided to make a quiet statement during the national anthem by standing ramrod straight on the blue line and not moving a muscle until one beat after the song ended. This made such an impression on our parents, they took hundreds of pictures of their sons in perfect formation. Our opponents' parents would send me letters praising us for the respect we showed the flag. It became such a central part of our identity that our seniors took it upon themselves to make sure the freshmen did it correctly. We rely on the national anthem during our toughest times. I will never forget the national anthems that followed 9/11, from Yankee Stadium to our rink. That fall, it was our seniors who asked me to add an American flag to our uniforms. Seeing them standing on our blue line, I felt immensely proud of them. If those 17-year-olds are the future, I thought, we're going to be fine. Well, those 17-year-olds are 27 now, and I was right. We're in good hands. So if the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Hockey League can't afford the $10 a game it costs to sing our national anthem together, which is more important than the game that follows, they could shorten warm-ups or player introductions or just pass the hat. I'm pretty confident that at any rink in America, you'd have no problem collecting $10 for that. I'd be happy to kick in the first Hamilton, and my dad will kick in the second.